The name of Jesus, amen. There was something missing from the gospel that I read today. And if you look in your Bibles, you'll find it. There were some missing verses. And not only the missing verses we'll get to, but it has to do with missing persons. But that's a little later. Our gospel reading today describes Jesus' way of resolving situations of conflict. Jesus says at the end of our gospel reading today in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Meaning where two or three Christians are gathered together, Jesus is in the middle of them. Jesus' name is Emmanuel in Scripture, which means God with us, in the middle, God among us. I've always thought this verse talked about a congregation like ours, an assembly. You know, if you get two or three, we made it. But actually, as I look more closely at this chapter today, I realize something that I had never seen before, even though I know this verse quite well. That what Jesus is talking about here is in the context not just of a congregation, but of conflict. That he talks about two or three together actually in the midst of conflict. And that makes me a little uncomfortable. And that's a good way to approach a biblical text. What's unsettling for us? What haven't we seen before? Conflict has a way of hardening us, doesn't it? And Jesus has a way of surprising us. Scripture teaches that in Christ all things hold together. And to be a congregation literally is to be an assembly of believers, two or three gathered. And like I said, I've often thought of what Jesus is saying here is just in that way, but he's saying about the wholeness of a congregation. Two or three are gathered in my name in the context of resolving conflict among those who call themselves Christians. Our gospel reading today establishes then Jesus' way of resolving conflict. Jesus is present where two or three are gathered in his name. And as Jesus reminds us, often that's in the context of conflict. The English word actually resolve is from the Latin word, a much older word, of to loosen. We might think of it as to resolve, as to go back to the source of conflict, to say something that brings it all back in hurt and shame. But to resolve actually means to loosen that hurt and shame. And Jesus also reminds us that conflict and disputes are unavoidable where you have two or three people together. That's a given, especially in communities where you have different views. The same is true, think about it, in any of our communities. It could be at church, or it could be in families, or it could be among fellow workers. The first episode in the Bible, after all, is a fall into sin, Cain and Abel. It's a conflict between the brothers Cain and Abel. And the conflict, the first story we have after the fall, is so bad that Cain kills his brother Abel. God seeks to resolve that conflict, but it is not resolved. And because of the selfishness of sin, there are families and communities, right? And there will be conflict. And what makes it worse, Jesus reminds us, is that our culture and society are terrible at conflict resolution. As Christians, right, we know this is a result of sin, and we realize that it will happen. And yet as Christians, we seek to resolve it. After all, that's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. The cross of Jesus is the ultimate conflict resolution, if you think about it. The conflict resolution between us and God. The cross of Christ means that our conflict with God over our sin is resolved and reconciled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was no sin, became our sacrifice. He is in the midst or in the middle between us and God the Father. He is the one who reconciles us to God. Jesus resolves to take away our conflict with God. And God our Father cannot tolerate this sin, therefore Jesus becomes that sin. Scripture speaks about it in different ways. The cross, a scapegoat, whatever, Jesus is that. He takes on all the pain and hurt, and he is obedient even to death. And God our Father accepts that sacrifice, that Jesus lays down his life not only for his friends, but for his enemies. God our Father accepts it so much, he raises Jesus up from the dead, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to resolve conflict in Jesus' name. This is something Christians should be good at, because we have been resolved in our conflict with God. And now we live in that forgiveness in Jesus. In the Holy Spirit, we're people of Jesus, Scripture calls us, to live out peace and reconciliation. Our second reading put it that even when you gotta pay taxes, we should love everyone. And in love, we fulfill the law, and that's everyone. This means that we are to resolve conflict as found through Jesus Christ, who fulfills the law and love of God most perfectly. This is all the background then, right, to when Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. Matthew chapter 18, conflict resolution. And remember, where two or three are in conflict among each other, that's what Jesus is talking about, even in Jesus' name, did you catch it? Who's there? Jesus. He's there. Jesus describes in our gospel reading today how we go about then resolving conflict the Jesus way. The first is to acknowledge that Jesus is there, that the conflict we face is not something that we can't handle. We can with Jesus. We have courage with Jesus. He's there. If he can handle the cross, he can handle the conflicts in our lives. And the first step, Jesus says, to acknowledge the conflict between you and the other. Acknowledge it. Accept it, that it exists. Don't try and deny it. Jesus puts it this way. Go directly to the other person you are in conflict with. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Hopefully he or she will listen to you. If so, peace, conflict resolve. Remember, Jesus is there. Note the first thing is to go directly, Jesus says, to the person who's wronged you. If you've wronged another person, go directly to the person you have wronged. This means, and this is the challenge, not to text or tell someone else. Go directly to them, just as Jesus goes directly to us. And I have to say, when we reflect on our lives, right, how many conflicts would be avoided if we just went directly to each other in honesty, in Jesus' name, in order to seek repentance and forgiveness? Most conflicts would die there as they do at the cross. When we go directly to the person in conflict in Jesus, he is there among us waiting to forgive. He's there with his peace. That's what he says. He holds all things together in the promise of reconciliation. Jesus then is a realist, right? He gets to, if that doesn't work, remember Cain and Abel. Well, if the person does not listen, take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of one or two witnesses. The Jesus way of resolving conflict is not to be naive about it. Indeed, witness and evidence are often needed in a world of gossip and hearsay. In a world where we avoid taking responsibility, it's there witnessed. Remember here too, Jesus is among the two or three witnesses. And Jesus, isn't he the ultimate witness? The ultimate witness about being reconciled to God in his broken body on the cross, he witnesses that for all to see. There is healing and wholeness, even at this step, that's possible. And finally, Jesus says, last resort, if that person refuses to listen, tell it to the church or the whole assembly. They probably heard about it, unfortunately, by now anyway. And treat that person as the outsider they insist on being. But this is the last resort. And it's painful, let me tell you, for all involved. And sometimes this happens. But even here, Jesus is among us and seeks to bring back the lost. I mentioned there was something lost when I read the gospel reading. I skipped a few verses. They were lost there. It talked about being humble like a child and not falling into temptation and sin. And then we went to where two or three are gathered and dealing with each other in conflict. But what was missing was a passage Jesus says about a lost sheep. You probably know this one. The sheep is lost in conflict of sin. And Jesus says there in this lost little passage, if a man has 100 sheep and one goes astray, does he not leave the 99 in the mountains? And I caught as I reflected on this, the mountains, by the way, not in a sheep pasture. Does he not leave them in the mountains and then go and find the one lost sheep? Well, that one lost sheep, the shepherd goes to find. And I suppose this is strange because there are 99 more after all. What's just one write-off? But that's not the Jesus way. No verse should be left behind in Scripture and no one should be left behind. Meaning no one is to be left behind when there is wholeness for that person. And Jesus came to reconcile the whole world. And Scripture says all of us, everyone, right, to God our Father by the Holy Spirit through the broken body of Christ. When Jesus, the good shepherd, finds that lost sheep, he'll rejoice more over this wandering and hurting sheep, he says, than over the 99 whoever went astray. And to drive the point home, Jesus says clearly in this passage, it is not the will of our Heavenly Father that any of these little ones, these sheep, should perish. Not the will of anyone, of God, that anyone be cast out. For God so loved the world that all who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's been said, and I often find this true in experience, that most people don't leave perhaps the church or communities or relationships, whatever it is, by the front door. They leave by the back. They sort of wander their way out. Meaning there usually is some conflict that is avoided or ignored and just slip away like a lost sheep. And it's easy to just ignore the verses like I did and just go on with the service. Do we even notice? Jesus, the good shepherd, notices. He seeks to go after the lost. After all, Jesus says, he came to seek and save the lost. This is a good reminder for us who have a higher calling as Christians. Our culture and society are terrible at conflict resolution. As Christians, we know, right, this is a result of sin. We can diagnose the problem. But to really get at the problem, we realize conflicts will happen. And yet as Christians, we're called not to be mired in that, but to seek to resolve conflict or to resolve conflicts. And the way to do that is found in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is with us, especially where two or three in conflict are gathered in his name. To resolve conflict in Jesus' name, actually then, if you think about it, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And oftentimes we might want to think about other things we can do as a family of faith. But Jesus reminds us that until we find reconciliation with one another, all those other things are really a waste of time. We may be tempted to avoid conflict, but Jesus guides us to find real and lasting reconciliation wherever they arise in our lives. And we know that they will. And Jesus gives us some ways of approaching, right? He says, whoever humbles himself like a child, Jesus says, is the greatest. Or he puts it this way, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Scripture says a little child shall lead them. Humility, reconciliation, peace. This is all the way of Jesus. Amen.